As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Intended receiver, but it's brought out at center as Leo Komarov wiped out his man. Now in over the line. Down goes Komarov. Komarov trying to come front. He scores! Leo Komarov!
Joe Bowen with the call, and once again, the Leafs remain perfect when they score the first goal of the game, as Komarov did in that case, and they go on to defeat the Detroit Red Wings by a score of 4-1. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And first of all, want to welcome all those listening to the Toronto Raptor game as well. So a great night for Toronto sports fans in the Toronto area with the Raptors win over the Cleveland Cavaliers, and as well with the Toronto Maple Leafs win against the Detroit Red Wings. We'll go over the game over the next little while. We'll hear from head coach Randy Carlyle. Check in with our man Chris Johnson down at Air Canada Center, Megan Robinson and all, to talk about the whole fan reaction that went on. And we welcome your calls around the Toronto Maple Leafs at 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. And Ozzy, again, like Thursday, a lot of positives to talk about in the game. But let's put Salute Gate to bed, and maybe to bed forever. Our perspective, this time we had to watch on TV last time. Last time we had a bird's eye view to what happened, to the ad hoc idea, whether it was planned or not. This time, smarter heads, I got to think, prevailed, or more intelligent thought process prevailed. And it seemed like, again, it was just created on the ice, a decision by some guys. And Stefan Robitaille, I believe, was one of them. We could see that they did salute the fans, not at center ice, but as they skated off. So I have to believe and hope that Salute Gate is put to bed for good, or at least for now.
Yeah, you know what? Excuse me, Gord. I would agree with you that in hindsight, even though Dion said that we're going to continue on without doing it, I think you realized at the end of the game who ends up providing some leadership to this mix. And it probably was Stefan Robitaille. We saw him, meet eye to eye with Dion in front of Bernier, and said, let's do it. They didn't go to center ice. They stayed around the goal crease area, saluted the fans, the right thing to do. Now let's move forward. But as you mentioned, a solid effort for the Maple Leafs tonight against their arch rivals in the Atlantic Division, the Detroit Red Wings.
The other game was James Van Riemsdyk getting on the two goals on Thursday. Tyler Bozak, and boy, you're not going to get a better, nicer, more individual effort, easy to say, shorthanded goal that he scored for the Maple Leafs. Put him up 2-1. Ends up being the game-winning goal. So, I mean, it's a 1-1 tie. Red Wings are on the power play. They've been killing the Leafs on faceoffs in the offensive zone, and Bozak does it all.
But absolutely, Gord. I mean, that was a huge goal for the Maple Leafs. Score is tied early in the third period. And the Red Wings, I think, after they got down one in the first period, they took a bunch of penalties. But as the game went on, I felt that 5-on-5, the Red Wings were the better team. They created more scoring chances, et cetera, et cetera. But what an ill-advised pass by Nyquist to Gronwall. He basically handcuffed Gronwall just inside the Leaf blue line when the Red Wings were on the power play, and then Bozak goes down on that breakaway. What a nice, nifty move to go to the back end over Jimmy Howard. That's the fourth shorthanded goal for the Maple Leafs of the season thus far. L.A. has 5. They lead the National Hockey League, but that was a big momentum builder for the Leafs early in the third.
And, of course, if you want to get in and join us on Leafs Nation postgame, 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. I don't know what the magic number is Leafs like to hold shots on goal to, but they do shoot the Red Wings 28-27, so that's much more manageable number for Jonathan Bernier. And on the unfortunate side, injuries.
Yep.
And Roman Pulock. And there was a big reason the Red Wing only goal was scored in that Pulock goes down in the corner. Tatar is his guy. While he's down and the Red Wings retain possession of the puck, Tatar scores the only Red Wing goal of the game. And then you look at the replay, because at first it was hard to tell. And as you mentioned, Roman Pulock, he's a horse. He doesn't go down easily. He doesn't show pain easily. And we'll find out what it is. But the ankle was really awkward how it was in the pushed against the boards.
Yeah, it certainly looked as though his ankle got caught up as he went into the boards. I'd be surprised if it's not his ankle. And yet, That was halfway through the game, Gord, when Tatar made it 1-1 for the Red Wings with the Leafs, 10:28 of the second period. So basically the last half of the game, the Leaf defenders played with five men. And I got to say, collectively as a group, even as we look at the stats, you know, the pair that we've often been critical of as far as a shutdown pair, Dion Phaneuf, Cody France, and they end up +3 on the night. The both of them were, each of those guys had four hits each. And so a solid night for those two in particular when the Leafs needed some leadership from the back end when Pollock went down.
And at the end, and it was an empty net goal that Bozak gets his second of the game. I should go over the scoring in a little bit, but we're thinking when it's 3-1, much like Roman Pollock got the goal from one when Bozak won the faceoff the other night, he was able to whack it to the end of the ice, which he can do with a two-goal lead. Cody Franson was out there. He had that consecutive point-a-game streak going, so you could see that Randy Carlyle had him out there at the end, but it's Bozak that gets the last goal, assisted by Winnick and Komarov, that puts it in the empty net. And after that, they weren't going to pull Jimmy Howard anymore. So kudos to Cody Franson for a great game today, but one game shy of tying Tom Curvers for the most consecutive games getting at least a point by a defenseman. And that was the longest current streak in the NHL. They're always hard to start again, and you knew that the last couple of games, he had just, you know, come up with a point somewhat late in the game. So, good game, but he'll have to start again at ground zero.
Yeah, absolutely, Gordon. It's bonus, I think, you know, for a defender when he does end up on the score sheet on a consistent basis as Cody has been doing over the course of the last, you know, nine hockey games. And maybe it was Scott Russell. Was it Scott Russell or Scott O, excuse me, of CBC who actually jinxed Cody Franson when interviewed and asked him about it, right?
Yeah,
so
Scott
are you
going
to you're going to blame him?
Wait a sec. We're going to all the things there. No. You're misreading.
Nobody's really talked much about his point streak up until probably today, and Scott Oak brought it up on Hockey Night in Canada in between periods.
And he talked about you thinking about it,
yeah,
and that kind of thing.
Made him nervous.
Yeah, okay.
Well, anyways,
we'll mention
move
that
on.
You've been nailing all your Kreskin stuff, okay? Laid all your things. And then
I said it was
going
to be a low-scoring game.
And it was. It was for a while. Then it got mid-scoring.
But it was a cat and mouse type of hockey game against the Red Wings tonight.
And again, to go over the scoring, we mentioned Komarov opened the scoring at the 11:39 mark. The goal you heard coming in here from Santarelli. That was Leo Komarov's second of the season. Tatar scores for Detroit. The period ends 1-0. Then in the second period, Tatar at the 10:28 mark for Detroit from Ouellette and Lashoff. And then the shorthanded goal. It's 1-1 at the end of two periods of play in the third, the 3:44 mark. Changed the game for good. Bozak is seventh of the year unassisted. And then at the 15:38 mark, the insurance goal. Another beauty. Peter Holland, same kind of play, even strength, though. His fifth of the year unassisted. He continues to make waves and an impression on everybody. And then the empty netter. Bozak at the 18:13 mark from Winnick and Komarov.
Am I allowed to comment on any of those goals? Like, in particular, the first one, because I thought I had a real valid thing to plug in here.
I want you to.
Okay,
I want you
on
to.
The Komarov goal, okay, I'm setting this up for you, but just inside the Leaf blue line, Nazem Kadri laid out Stefan Granwall with a great check along the wall, which freed up the puck for Santarelli to go down the wall. And Komarov's following it up, and he picks up the loose puck down near the goal line and goes hard to the net. And that's workmanlike type of goal that I thought the Leaf grinders like Clarkson and Daniel Winnick, Komarov, Santarelli, Peter Holland, they were all main contributors on this night for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So your role players, I thought, really had a good game.
And kudos. Nazem Kadri didn't pick up a point, but that kind of play, springing him loose, taking the hit, was certainly a plus in that respect. We'll talk more about that. We're going to come back, take the break. We've got the out-of-town scores. There's 13 games and all going on around the National Hockey League, but the big one is here. The Toronto Maple Leafs, 4-1 winners over the Detroit Red Wings. We'll hear from Randy Carlyle and much more when we return. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Game workout. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Far side for Nyquist. It's stolen by Bozak. Bozak getting around the defense. He's trying to cut in a goal. He's right in a goal. Goal! Holy mackerel! A shorthanded goal! And the Leafs lead 2-1.
And it was a beauty. You could tell by the call of Joe Bowen, the shorthanded goal by Tyler Bozak. 3:44 mark of the third period play gave the Leafs a 2-1 lead. They went on to defeat the Detroit Red Wings 4-1. Tonight at Air Canada Centre, we welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And joining us from Air Canada Centre, our man from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, Chris Johnson. How you doing, Chris?
I am doing very well, guys. It's a little bit lighter atmosphere around here tonight, I guess, than most of this week.
Well, last game we talked to you, and then the bigger chunk of your night, you got busier after we chatted, and the other story was coming out about what happened. So I want to talk about the game. I want to talk about Bozak's goal. But Ozzy and I were trying to look, much like they looked at the video later, like the Zapruder film about what happened the other night. We only got a little bit here on Hockey Night in Canada, but what happened at the end of the game? It seemed to us, one guy like Stefan Robida, I don't know if anybody else, but seemed to be kind of cajoling the Maple Leaf players in doing something, which they did, and seemed to satisfy everybody. I mean, you were there. I don't know if you got a chance to see it or not, but how did it play out?
Yeah, they got the new half salute, the hybrid salute, basically in their own defensive zone after they congratulate the goalie on the way off instead of all going to center. And you know, the guy said that was something they discussed prior to tonight's game and kind of agreed upon. And Dion Phaneuf, the captain, said that's the new thing to look for. So I guess, you know, to me, it's, you know, maybe a little bit of an admission, if you will, of what we suspect was going on the other night. You know, as I mentioned, I know a few of the guys weren't happy with what had gone on with the fans. I'm sure they weren't happy with themselves, but you know, sometimes when you go through a period, you know, where frankly, and I know we talked about it and I wrote a story about it, so I'm, you know, we're part of it in some way, but you know, I tended towards the absurd by the end. I think it, with just the sheer volume of the discussion about it and around it, you know, there's a feeling, I guess, that they're on the other side now, and you know, I think it's something already the Leafs players are laughing about a bit.
Chris, Roman Polak goes down about halfway through the game. What appears to be a high ankle sprain, MRI he'll get over the course of the weekend. And yet I thought the Leaf defenders really hung tight and pulled together, in fact, and were very, very solid for the remaining parts of the hockey game and only gave up 5 shots in that third period. So a fine effort by the D, and we even gave kudos to Cody Franson and Dion Phaneuf, who were +3 collectively on the night between them. So a very good effort by the Leaf defenders.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great third period by the team. That was the difference in the game. But I agree that the defense, you know, in particular, deserves some praise here because they played half the game down a man. You know, they came off a second period where, you know, the Red Wings, I thought, dominated. And, you know, I had a chance to slip over to the wing side of things and ask Mike Babcock about that third period, and he said he expected his team to continue dominating because the Leafs were down a man, and then they just couldn't get it going. And obviously a little bit opportunistic with a couple of turnovers, you know, in their own zone that the Leafs were able to go down the ice and score on. But, you know, really a good effort from that blue line, which, you know, I think in the bigger picture, more than any individual game, we're all looking to see how that group can hold up and how the team can play as a whole defensively, because, you know, I firmly believe that will be the make or break point. You know, and whether they're going to be able to get in the playoffs and be as competitive as they need to be to accomplish that.
You know, and as mentioned, what you and Ozzy were talking about, I thought the Tampa game, that, you know, Tampa really wasn't on their game the other night, and that's not to knock the Leafs by any stretch of the imagination, but I thought the Red Wings were pretty well full value for most of the game. I mean, that's a tough team to defend against, and as you mentioned, that's something the Leafs did rather adeptly tonight. On the other side, goals are hard to come by. And boy, in Bozak and Holland, two sensational individual efforts.
Just awesome. I mean, if there's any guy, if you're on a Leafs bench getting a breakaway in the middle of the game, you want to be Tyler Bozak. I mean, even as much skill as Kessel and James Van Riemsdyk and other players, Nazem Kadri, have among the four group, that guy just seems to really know what to do with the puck when he gets a breakaway. I mean, you know, clearly it's not an everyday occurrence, but, you know, that was a huge goal at that point. And I think what's a particular note as well, that he forced a turnover near the blue line in his own zone while killing the penalty before, you know, scoring that shorthanded goal. And then, you know, in Peter Holland's case, that really made it comfortable because, you know, he you know, really within the foot race he was in with Gustav Nyquist, you know, was fortunate, had to work hard to just get a shot off, and he got a great shot off short side and sealed the victory. So, you know, there's lots for the Leafs to feel good about, I think. I mean, it's still a game that really could have got one either way, I think. And you know, to be able to refocus after second period that you know, I didn't think was their strongest and come out and finish the third in the manner they did is just, you know, that's going to send everyone to a day off tomorrow feeling especially good.
Yeah, Chris, with his third consecutive start, I think another player that deserves a lot of recognition on the night was Jonathan Bernier. And I was trying to point out to Gord, just watch Bernier in the net tonight, because it looked as though he was being... just his movement was very solid. Looked like the puck was just hitting him. He wasn't overplaying it. And for, you know, three starts in a row and a guy who's basically just over 500 on the season, I thought he was really up to task tonight.
Well, I don't want me to highlight too much there, Ozzie. The first start, he only ended up a period, I think, that ugly Nashville game. But certainly you're right. He's helped stabilize things since then. And, that, you know, let's face it, that was a critical couple games, I think, after the back-to-back blowouts against Buffalo, Nashville, and you know, when Bernier's on, I mean, we've seen it here now in the last year and a bit that he's been here. I mean, he can be about as good as any goalie in the league. I mean, I think for him at times he might deal with some of the consistency issues the team has, although, you know, I'm not going to be too hard on him. I think in a lot of ways he saved them through the first half of last year, and we've seen that he can be good at, you know, in spurts this season. And, you know, I think it's very encouraging for the Leafs to see him playing so well, and you know, his teammates are doing their part. It's the second straight game now, the Tampa game as well, where they kept the shots below 30. I know internally they've set the goal at 25, and you know, if they can keep it in that 25 to 30 range, you know, just by that fact alone, and with him in goal, and even James Reimer as well when he gets the turn, you know, I think that obviously success is going to be more easily attainable.
Well, for the Toronto Marlies now, when you're looking at a defensive call-up, I would have to think it'd be a no-brainer. It's David Percy. Would you think anything else, given that Pollock's likely out? Excuse me, Stuart Percy, given that he's likely out for a little bit?
I would think he'll be one. I mean, I'll be curious to see if they make it two, because, you know, the team is going on the road to Pittsburgh, and generally, you know, they would want to take an extra guy. I mean, right now, because they've been on this long homestand, the Leafs have only had six defensemen on the active NHL roster, so... Percy to me has been a no-brainer, but be very curious to see who comes up with him, whether it's maybe Petter Granberg or Kribinian Holzer, you know, two guys that have seen some NHL action pretty sparing within the last couple of years, and you know, that there's going to be an opportunity here. I mean, the blue line again, I think is the biggest area of focus, if not concern, but in terms of, you know, the Leafs being a better defensive team, that was a clear issue last year, and you're seeing some good things, and then now they're gonna, you know, need someone else to step in there, because Roman Polak had been logging a lot of minutes, and, you know, it does look like he's gonna be out, you know, I would say at least a month, even though that timeline wasn't provided, but it sounds like it's gonna be at least a little while here.
Chris, I was gonna be very curious entering tonight's game, as opposed to the other night when Randy decided to go Bozak against the Stamkos line, because power gains power. Tonight I was going to see if that in fact was going to be the case, and yet I saw that Peter Holland got the assignment with Daniel Winnick and David Clarkson to go against Nyquist, Zetterberg, and Franson. The first time that those guys came to our building, they got every one of the Detroit Red Wing goals, and tonight that line was -9 combined, so I felt that Holland, Winnick, Clarkson line did a great job on that number one unit.
Yeah, that was a big you know, point for the Leafs to figure out how to handle that matchup. I mean, I think the Bozak guys still saw a few shifts with him, but you're right, largely handled by Peter Holland. And you know, we know that Daniel Winnick is a player that largely is here, you know, for his defensive capabilities. And I think he's shown that he can handle those well. And you know, they did get the best of them tonight. I mean, they scored the one goal that really mattered, you know, in terms of the head-to-head matchup. And, you know, that you know, and kind of curious to see now if that's something that gets used a little bit more often here. I mean, there's going to be some lineup decisions, because, you know, I think David Booth and Joffrey Lupo will likely be available for the next game Wednesday in Pittsburgh. So, you know, maybe this will allow Randy to develop more of a pure checking line, which, you know, it seems to me that group right now is suited to be.
Before I let you go, just one question I want to bring up is that, again, part of the thing is media fans, whatever, you don't want to, I mean, the thing is getting too high when it goes going well and getting too low when things don't go well. I like perspective both ways. And, okay, it's a bit of a high now. They've had two great wins at home. But I got to tell you, and I wonder if you feel the same, Chris, that the events of the last 2 days, and we can all draw our own conclusions, I'm drawing mine, that whether you're in the dressing room or you're part of management, that maybe they tweaked you about leadership or overall, that if I'm the players now, maybe I think about getting more involved, about flexing my muscle, about maybe there is a void of a leadership group at the top, and a positive could come out of this, because I still think the events 2 days ago showed that, regardless of what they do in the standings. And I'm curious. I look forward and hope some guys decide, you know what, I'm going to step up and look at trying to do the, quote, right things rather than being a follower.
Well, and, you know, it could be a teaching moment. You know, I realize this is something that, you know, it seems to me, you know, it's tough to gauge. But on Twitter, you know, I don't think too many actual fans are upset about, you know, and I don't blame them. I mean, fans just want to see the team win. But, you know, I do think it was still the wrong thing to do in a lot of ways. I think, you know, probably even though no one had come out and quite said it exactly, I think it was a point of reflection. I mean, management did address the team over the issue. And I think that you know, when decisions like that happen, that, you know, no matter what walk of life you're in, you want to learn from them. And you know, I think they're trying to turn it into a bit of a teaching moment. Or you're right, maybe for certain other members of the dressing room to take more of an ownership. I mean, Stefan Robidoff, for example, is, you know, clearly the oldest guy on the team at 37, but he's also brand new here. And you know, frankly, to the first month of the season, and he would be the first to tell you this, he didn't play that well. And no, he's starting to find his stride a little bit more, I think, on a personal level inside the dressing room, but also, you know, with his play. And, you know, maybe this is an opportunity for him to exert himself a little bit more, just to name one guy. But, you know, there's always the opportunity to turn something like this into a positive. It's clearly over now. It's not going to be a point of focus, I wouldn't think, moving forward. And you know, maybe sometimes you need to go through, I'm not going to call it adversity because I hate that word, but go through something that is uncomfortable or maybe ticks you off, that it became, you know, talking point, and draw some positives out of it. And I got a sense, at least, you know, immediately after tonight and obviously after a win, it's going to be a little different, that maybe, you know, this is something they can build on just the whole week. I mean, going back to talking at the start of the week about Phil Kessel, you know, blowing off a member of the media kind of rather rudely and losing 9-2 and losing in Buffalo 6-2. I mean, it's been a trying week, but, you know, there's a feeling, at least right now, that maybe the guys have come out on the other side of that feeling a little stronger and better about themselves.
Well, let's hope that is the case. Hey, thanks as always for joining us, Chris. We'll catch you next week, okay?
Okay. Thanks for having me, guys.
Chris Johnson from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca.
Good point by you, Gord. I mean, this is an opportunity, right? When things like this do occur, and I think right away, immediately after the end of the hockey game, when that did occur, is that I think some other guys have jumped up to the forefront. And, you know, Stefan Robidoff is one of the guys which they brought in here for a lot of reasons. You know, inside the dress room, he may not say a lot, but if you've heard him interviewed, if you've spent any time with him, there's a lot to like about Stefan Robidoff. So good on Stefan, I think, to, you know, finally get acclimated, I think, to this hockey club. And maybe from here on in, he's somebody who really takes on more of a leadership role.
I think even like day-to-day life for all of us. Yep. I know I've appreciated people that have stopped me from doing something ill-advised or made me think. And I hope I've done that for the same for other people around there. And I look at it, I think if there is a void there, this is an opportunity to figure out about changing the dynamics a little bit or evolving a bit, because I hope that that's the positive that does come from it. Like you say, Ozzie, I do want to, because we're going to get back to the game a bit. There are 13 games in total in the National Hockey League, including the Toronto-Detroit game, which was a 4-1 win for the Leafs over the Red Wings. Let's go through the out-of-town scoreboard now. Oz, we'll go back and forth. You can start. Okay.
Well, you know what? Do you want the finals or do you want games under progress? Because that's going to affect how I scroll up and down my computer.
Okay, well,
let's
do games under progress first.
Okay, you know what? Just heading into a shootout in Nashville.
Let's do finals. No, because do games in progress.
Games in progress. In Nashville, they're heading into a shootout. And matter of fact, Nashville has, from what I've been told, just won in a shootout. 3-2 goal, Gord. So the goal scorers here, wow, that threw me for a loop. But Colin Wilson with his third, Matt Cullen with his third in regulation. Philip Forsberg in a shootout gets the winner for the Preds. For Florida, Rocco Grimaldi, who, by the way, played in a school day game for San Antonio, gets called up and played that night for the Florida Panthers, gets his first of the season for the Panthers, and Nick Bukestad with his seventh, but okay. The Preds win.
But anyway, take a look at the time of those two. Just reading, we talked to Bruce Boudreau on the pregame show, yeah. And he mentioned that Patrick Waugh started pulling the goaltender early last year, and the Colorado Avalanche got something like 8 goals and 22 opportunities. Florida scored twice with the goaltender pulled. 19-17. Then 12 seconds later, they tied the game twice.
Oh, you're assuming that the goaltender was Pulleyn. You're just assuming
that.
No,
but I already saw that. It's a different one. Sorry, you're not on that email link I get. I get super personal stuff that you'll get when you've been in this business for a few years.
Okay. Well, why don't you go on to the next score?
I will, Oz. Thanks, Mark. I'll go on. Dallas now leading the Los Angeles Kings 5-4. Dallas, who had four unanswered goals, the 4-0 lead. Jamie Benn is seventh. John Klimberg is second. Ben then is eighth. Tyler Seguin, how about that, number 15? And Jason Demers later gets his first. Meanwhile, the LA Kings been coming back. Tanner Pearson is ninth. Justin Williams is third. Mike Richards is third. Then Justin Williams again for his fourth.
How about over in Colorado, after two periods of play, the Hurricanes lead the Avs 3-2. All three goals in the first period for Carolina. John Michael Lyles with his first. Nathan Gerby gets his second, and just picked up on waivers is Andre Nestrosil gets his first. They picked him up from Detroit, and replying for Colorado, Zach Redmond with his second, and Eric Johnson gets his fourth in the second period. Like I said, 3-2 Carolina over Colorado at the end of two.
Jersey has a 2-0 lead over Calgary. Adam Henrique is sixth and Mike Camilleri his eighth. That is late in the first period.
After one period in Edmonton, the second game on Hockey Night in Canada, the Blackhawks lead the Oilers 3-0. Jonathan Toews with his eighth, Marcus Kruger with his third, and Brent Seabrook with his sixth.
Okay, well, I mean, that shouldn't count as one of my games, Arizona and San Jose, because it's nothing-nothing. I should be able to give that score and then one of the final games.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Go to the next final
That just started. And come on, it's nothing. Arizona, San Jose, just started. Nothing-nothing. How about this afternoon? St. Louis 3-2 winners over Ottawa. And yes, it is Mr. Tarasenko, Vladimir Tarasenko with his 12th, LaPierre with his first, and Steen with his fourth was the game winner. Zibanejad is third, and Carlson is fifth for Ottawa. 3-2, the Blues win.
How about Montreal? They continue to have the Bruins number in Boston. 2-0 is the score for the Montreal Canadiens. Andre Markov with his second goal of the season. That's his 100th in his NHL career. Thomas Plekanec with his 8th of the season. And how about this? Carey Price, for all the games that he's played against the Boston Bruins, this is his first ever shutout against those Bruins.
Take a look at Minnesota-Tampa Bay. The Tampa Bay Lightning 2-1 winners over Minnesota. Steven Stamkos with his 14th. Alex Killorn with his 6th. Zach Parise, the lone Minnesota goal. So 2-1 win for Tampa Bay over New Jersey.
By the way, if you want to comment after I give the score, you're able to, or just say, wow, I didn't know that. But anyways, on to Long Island and a home-and-home between the Penguins and the Islanders.
Wow, I didn't know that.
The Islanders, the Islanders win again by the score of 4-1. The lone scorer for the Penguins was Malkin in the first period, his 8th of the season, and then 4 straight goals by the Islanders. Matt Martin gets his second. By the way, he had his first last night for the Islanders, the tough guy who leads the league in hits. Anders Lee gets his 3rd for the season for the Islanders. Brock Nelson, his 10th on the power play. And John Tavares, Nazem Kadri's friend, JT, gets his 8th of the season.
Well, and you look at that as well. The Penguins had the lead for the first 38 minutes of the game, that 1-0 lead, and the Islanders came back with 4 in the final 22 minutes. Philadelphia 4-2 winners over Columbus. Braden Schenn is 7th. Mark Strait is 4th. Wayne Simmonds is 8th. And Braden Coburn is 1st for Columbus. Boone Jenner, local guy, is 1st. And Matt Calvert, his 2nd. 4-2 Philadelphia over Columbus.
How about the Buffalo Sabres? They're on fire, Gord. They beat San Jose the other night. Leafs a week ago, 6-2. They go into Washington tonight, and they win 2-1. Matt Molson opened the scoring in the second period with his 3rd. Matty Niskanen, excuse me, replied for the Capitals, his 1st of the season. And then Torrey Mitchell, with just about 8 minutes to go in the third period, wins it for Buffalo, his 3rd.
Okay, well, we'll give an update next hour as well. The games that are in progress, boy, that's ugly in Edmonton. Boy, oh boy, 3-0 they lose to Chicago, or losing to Chicago right now. I did want to mention just our producer, Matt Brown. A lot of the stuff that earlier we talked to Chris Johnson about, but just confirming what the Leafs said about Roman Pollock's going to be getting an MRI tomorrow or Monday, and that Randy Carlyle's already alluded to that it's serious, and he'll be out for an extended length of time before any formal diagnosis. So that is the one unfortunate measure in tonight's game. Roman Pollock, who's been a stud, who's been a horse, going down with a serious ankle injury.
Thanks, Dr. Gord.
No problem. Trusty attendant, Mark. That was it. So that, and that's why too, when you were busting me because I wasn't, I wasn't commenting. I was getting that update in my ear.
Well, usually you do.
You should figure out that something's going on in my ear. You think, you know, the greats like Dave Hodge and that, people knew something's in their ear, like Ron McLean and that.
Okay. Are we going to go on to talking about the Leaf game and maybe let's go for a walk to our car because we parked a long way away, Gord, because there's so much construction around the Air Canada Center. We had to park a long way away.
I know. We're still walking to the subway. How about that? That's what we're doing. We'll be coming back. We'll talk to Helene St. James, of course, from the Detroit Free Press. Chat with her about the Red Wing point of view. Randy Carlisle as well. We're here for the Maple Leaf head coach. He'll talk about, this is going to be kind of relaxed. He actually was relaxed last game and having some fun. That was before Snubgate became known. And this time around, in a positive mode, our trusty reporter, Megan Robinson, will check in. She'll talk about the crowd reaction and what went on the half-hearted salute as they got things going and what went on from Air Canada Center. How's that sound, Oz?
That sounds fantastic. And by the way, Randy, I think has deflected some of the pressure off his players by, in fact, being very, very humorous.
He's been great. He really has. That's right. And it's not his cup of tea either, but he's done it very, very capably. We'll come back. We'll try to do the next hour very capably. It's Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne with you on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Toronto Raptors basketball. Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Mentioned that the night for some outstanding individual effort goals. One by Tyler Bozak made it 2-1. This one by Peter Holland made it 3-1 for the Toronto Maple Leafs en route to their 4-1 victory over the Detroit Red Wings. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers.
You know what? Give the Leafs a lot of credit, especially Tyler Bozak early in that third, Gord, when he read the play very, very well. I thought Nyquist made a couple of real bonehead plays in that third period. He handcuffed Gronwall on that power play or shorthanded marker by Tyler Bozak and then turned it over on the Peter Holland goal. So on the other end of the table with Mike Babcock, I'm sure he's looking at that and saying to himself, man, that would have driven him crazy, right? In the third period, you got a tie hockey game and you're on the power play and one of your top
that shorthanded goal they gave up early in the third period was demoralizing, to say the least. So that kind of turned everything around from them. You know, they just weren't really able to ever work their way back in after that.
Tell us about Thomas Tatar. Not a lot of Leaf fans would probably get know a lot about Thomas Tatar. Nyquist is the guy who really lit it up last year. But again, Tatar gets his ninth of the season in that second period. Collided in the corner with Roman Polak. But, Helen, comment on Tatar and the season that he's had so far.
That was a powerful shift, right? Score and take out a guy who's certainly bigger than him. Almost everyone is, yeah. You know what, Tatar's strength is that he's a puck hound and he has boundless enthusiasm, and he's playing on a really good line right now. I mean, that Sheahan line with him and Justin Applicator has been the best one of this little three-game trip. So, but, you know, he was like that last year as well. I mean, he was a reliable scorer for them and didn't have quite the start he wanted. But, you know, with a guy like him, you knew it was going to come at some point. So I absolutely love watching him. I just think he's so much fun to watch.
You know, Lee, you have the Red Wings had so many years that beginning, I guess late 80s, say early 90s, when they hoped to contend for the Stanley Cup or win it, were bitterly disappointed about 4, 5, 6 years in a row, and then started winning Stanley Cups on a regular basis. Now they're one of the better teams, but not considered a Stanley Cup shoe-in anymore. Are Red Wing fans satisfied with that? I mean, is it good enough the way they are right now?
No, you know, I find it amusing how much criticism is leveled at them. I think a lot of teams, a lot of franchises would love to, I'll use the polite word stink is what people will sometimes say about the Wings. I think a lot of people, franchises would love to stink the way the Wings have stunk in the past couple of decades, right? You know, they've fallen short in the playoffs and haven't gone in the right direction the last couple of years. I think the last year, I mean, they had such devastating injuries with both Zetterberg and Datsyuk each missing half a season. They basically, you know, were relying entirely on youngsters. So I think this year, you know, disregarding what happened tonight overall, if they can get their power play going, I think that'd be huge for them. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they could be dangerous. It's a long ways off. I also think they really got to find somebody who shoots right, who can help them out on the back end and on power plays. And unfortunately, the suite they were hoping could come rescue them, not happening.
Did you get a chance to talk with Mike Babcock after the game? Because I got to think that third period was not one that he would have enjoyed watching. I thought the Red Wings, you know, midway through the second period, probably because of the Polak injury, took over the game 5-on-5. They're on the power play. They give up a shorthanded goal. They're still one goal down. Another turnover after that. He's got to be pretty upset with his usually very good puck management type of team.
Yeah, you know, he was in one of those modes where, I mean, he's very, very frank when they lose like this. It's just, you know, he's saying, you know, we stopped attacking, we didn't attack, and I don't know why. And I think he genuinely doesn't know why, because the first two games on this trip, they showed, you know, what the good things. They scored 9 goals coming into the night in Winnipeg and Columbus because they attacked relentlessly, and then they kind of stopped doing that, especially on the power play tonight. I guess, you know, it's a long season. They have their ups and downs. But no, he was not a happy coach afterwards.
No, and it's, yeah, you could tell that as far as a Babcock today on the bench, and they'd had success with the Toronto Maple Leafs of late. Obviously, Pavel Datsyuk's just, I still think, somewhat of an underrated player, even at his advanced age. What do you think as far as his contribution goes? And I guess, what is he day-to-day right now?
Day-to-day, like all of us, yes. he did practice with them this morning. So, you know, but their concern is that they've had so many guys go down with groin injuries, and they're worried if they bring him back too early, you know, and Pavel already missed some games earlier this season with a groin injury, came back and played a few games, and now he's missed all 3 of these games as well on this road trip. So what Mike said this morning was, you know, we want him to feel right, get skating right. We got to get this taken care of because, you know, how groin injuries can linger, and that's the last guy they want to be without for any length of time.
Well, and Peter Mrazek, who had a fine night the other night in the win in Winnipeg, obviously backed up Jimmy Howard. Jonas Gustafsson still injured. The plan is for Mrazek to go back to Grand Rapids and continue to get seasoned as far as becoming the goaltender one day of the future for the Red Wings.
Well, I mean, he won't be going back for a while because Gustafsson's out pretty much through November and December with a shoulder injury. So they're going to see, you know, then they have a lot of games coming up. They play pretty much every other day for the foreseeable future through Christmas. So he'll be around for a while and probably get in every fourth to fifth game, depending on the how situations work out back to back. They absolutely love him. Mike Babcock thinks very, very highly of him. And you can tell, too, he's just, he's got, like with Xavier Ouellette, you see tonight, he's just, for as young as they are, they just have this maturity about them or this aura, like, well, if I make a mistake, I'll get over it. And for the most part, they don't, you know, but Mrazek, I mean, he's just super, super confident, very laid back, no nerves. You could go up and talk to him 5 minutes before getting in a game. He's like Hasek in that way. You know, he's you can't distract him. Undistractable, is that a word?
Now, take a look as well. You just were chatting earlier about the fact they have some cap room, and Daniel Alfredsson looking like he's not going to return, to say the least. Red Wings, could they be more active than usual around trade deadline with some cap room?
I think absolutely, especially depending on where they are in the standings and such, and if how their health is, if they think they have a good chance in you know, going some distance. And, you know, there's some wariness that, I mean, Söderberg and Datsyuk, like you mentioned earlier, both in their mid-30s now, I mean, that window is closing. So, I would expect them to be pretty aggressive, especially about adding a defenseman who shoots right. I mean, that's really, they tried to do that this summer and weren't able to, but that's definitely a focal point for them.
Well, it was a good night in Toronto, not so much for the Detroit Red Wings, but it's great having that battle once again between two original six teams and former Norris Division foes as well. Helene, thanks very much, as always, for joining us.
My pleasure, anytime.
Helene St. James from the Detroit Free Press talking about those Detroit Red Wings. Of course, a 4-1 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight over the Red Wings. We'll hear from head coach Randy Carlo in a few minutes, Ozzy. We're going to check in a second with Megan Robinson.
Well, you know what? Before we do check in with Megan, interesting enough, as we watch our monitor up top there, nice expression by Dallas Eakins. It's 5-0.
Wow.
Early in the second period in Edmonton, Ben Scrivens has just been pulled, and the Blackhawks continue to pound the Oilers.
Well, we've gotten rid of the crisis here now. The 48-72-hour crisis that went on in Toronto, it always does permeate and in pro sports, different cities at different times. But Edmonton is one we'll chat about a bit more, maybe hear some more. This is just, they cannot seem to turn the corner. Toronto Maple Leafs did it with the win tonight. Our man / woman / reporter / correspondent Megan Robinson. I've been covering the events the last couple of days. She joins us from Air Canada Centre. How you doing, Megan?
I'm well, thanks, Gord. How are you?
We're good. I know you've been on top. You were there yesterday as well. And like we said, from a win on Thursday that all was good, that changed dramatically with the events right after the game, the last 48 hours. And maybe go back to yesterday, because you were among the hordes of reporters there, and then you were among the few people there this morning. And then after the game tonight. So can we move on from a salute gate or whatever it's called?
Here's hoping, Gord. Yesterday the hordes of media and the news coverage that the non-salute got really overshadowed their win on Thursday night. And so when Dion Phaneuf, you know, addressed the media in the locker room after Leafs practice yesterday, he faced some very heated questions. And to say things got out of hand is an understatement in that Leafs locker room yesterday. Fast forward to today, he says that they have spoken about it as a group. And while the change of routine seemed to be what their focus on was yesterday, they said that they don't want to disrespect any of their fans. They talked among themselves and have decided that now it's going to be their new thing, that they will, in fact, salute the fans. So this has come to an end very quickly. But as Randy Carlisle said post-game, that it's just one thing. They're always waiting for the next thing to come up. However, it was a totally different Dion Phaneuf that we saw post-game today. He was relaxed, very confident, very well-spoken, and a very, very, very different guy than what we saw yesterday after practice.
Yeah, Megan, Gordon and I were talking about that this perhaps could be a very positive thing that the Leafs, turn into. Obviously, getting these two wins much needed and under a lot of scrutiny. I thought the Leafs really have bared down these last couple of games, played a more simplified type of game with a lot of structure, and the onus has been on working hard, managing the puck, and playing a good team game, and it seems, though, that as Dion Phaneuf has stepped up, so has the team in general, and that's been a real positive thing to watch the last few games.
Well, Mark, I think they've come together as a team, and Peter Holland, who scored one of the goals tonight, you know, he said that they're trying to be patient with themselves right now, but they're trying to focus on the process and not the outcome. Now, they noticed this morning that they just didn't want to have a full skate, so they didn't need to. So they had another optional skate for a second straight game day, and they said that's where it started. They felt focused. They felt ready, and they said that that's what they were going to put their energy in. So they're trying to figure out what works, and while, yes, they've gotten two back-to-back wins and are starting to feel like their game is back to where they want it to be, they still know that they can't get too confident with just two wins, knowing that there's still a lot of hockey to be played and a lot of things that they need to improve on. You know, they didn't have a great second period tonight, and they know that. They spoke about that post-game. Every player that spoke, as well as head coach Randy Carlisle, said that they know they made mistakes. So what they're going to be able to do is build on that now, and as I mentioned, not get too confident, but try and get some consistency, which is something they've really lacked lately.
Now, again, watching tonight, I was, you know, curious about the fan reaction. It seemed like it was positive. Now, it wasn't a game they went behind a lot, put it that way, but they didn't choose a chance to, like, say, boo Dion when he had the puck, or Kessel when he had the puck, for example. I mean, all in all, how were the fans tonight from arriving throughout the game and then at the end?
Well, it's funny, Gord. I cover all the major sports teams in this city, and for the first time since I've been covering the Maple Leafs, in the last little while, and especially this season, there was an organic go Leafs go chant that began in the first period. It started again in third, and that was not signified by any sort of signage around the building that said cheer. You know, they weren't being told to do it. They were just cheering on their own. So especially in the third period when, you know, the goals started coming in, the fans were really into it. You know, the seats were filled most of the game, and that's not always the case. You know, a lot of the platinum seats and seats around the lower bowl are not, and they really seemed a little bit more into it tonight, which I think really helped the Leafs, knowing that they don't want to disrespect the people that pay a small fortune to come to the Air Canada Centre to watch them play.
Megan, Peter Holland and Randy commented in his post-game press conference about Peter Holland's play and how, you know, ever since he's been on the PK, has really brought upon a lot of self-confidence in his game. And I think that he struggled for a number of games, and yet that line that he was, you know, changed or put with Daniel Winnick and David Clarkson did a real good job on that top line. He gets a big goal in the third period, you know, the real deciding goal, the third goal of the hockey game, and played with just an overall general confidence. And I like his disposition. I like the way that he talks to the media, and it just seems like he's just so full of confidence, and that's a real neat thing to see for the Maple Leafs.
He absolutely is, Mark. He's very full of confidence. And when Randy Carlisle did speak about him post-game, he used the word patient. And Peter Holland is very patient with the way that he plays. And the fact that, you know, that's the word that Randy Carlisle used, I think signifies the way that they look at him and say, you know, that they know that they can put him in that situation. They also know that he's confident enough to do it. And he asked to get more time on that PK. And Randy Carlisle spoke about that as well in this post-game, knowing that Peter Holland is very well capable. They just have to give him that, the experience so that his confidence continues to grow and he can continue to show them what he's capable of doing.
Well, great job as always, Megan. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks.
Megan Robinson covering the game for Sportsnet 590, The Fan at Air Canada Centre.
You know what? And I got to wonder what they're going to do in Edmonton, Gord. It's 6-0 wow. Now in Edmonton, and whether a jersey needs to be tossed there in order to galvanize that particular hockey club. But it's not looking pretty again in Edmonton. You got to wonder, Dallas Eakins, is his days numbered in Edmonton? But boy, oh boy.
I know we talk
a lot about Toronto and, you know, our team and what goes on here. But, man, that's interesting to see what's going on in Edmonton.
Yeah, well, you know, be interested to hear what Dion Phaneuf has to say, and we'll get that in a few minutes' time. We'll also update you on the out-of-town scores, but let's hear from Toronto Maple Leaf head coach, and he's been in the fire all week and handling it rather capably, Randy Carlisle.
Listen in to Coach Carlisle.
They're waiting for my nameplate. I said they know who the heck I am. This is Steve. You got to wait for your nameplate.
Go ahead.
Randy,
what did you like about the way your guys finished the game in the third period there?
Well, I think we got back on track of playing the way we need to play. I thought the game got away from us in the second period. We turned the puck over far too many times, and we were receiving the game, and we tried a lot of things on our backhand through the neutral ice, and when you do that against a team like Detroit, they defend that red line as strong as any team in the league. And we were on our heels for the second period, so you know, we gave up a goal, and we just said to ourselves that, hey, we're going to pick the four things that we think we need to do to give ourselves a chance in a nothing-nothing game in our building. You know, we've got to step up here. We've got to do this for our hockey club.
The Holland goal and the patience he took to score, does that reflect his continuing maturation as a forward in this league, do you think?
Yeah, again, Holly's always been able to provide offense at the level of that he's played at, and, you know, we're putting him in some roles, but he's earned the opportunity too. And, you know, I think that the season for Holly started to turn around when he started to kill penalties. He got more involved in the game, and he got more involved with the pace of the game, and he's done a heck of a job for us in the penalty killing department. So you got to take your hat off the guy, because as I stated before, he came to us and asked for that opportunity, and we felt that, you know, big guy, smart, you know, got good reach, can skate, can shoot, you know, would be a nice addition to the penalty killing, and he stepped in and been a great compliment.
Was there a reason you used that line versus Zetterberg?
It was really what I was trying to do was just trying to either, it was going to be either Holland or Bozak. So I try to share the minutes against the Zetterberg line. And, you know, and we felt that, you know, with Kadri's line, we felt that if we had to, we weren't really worried about it, because I thought, you know, in tonight's game, Nazi was physical. He was much more presence. And when you have Leo Komarov on your line, that line seems to have that dogged work ethic. Santorelli's had a great start to the season for us also. So, you know, we're a lot more comfortable with where we sit with personnel at, you know, when in the last two games versus the previous two. I know that.
Given Tyler's history, are you reasonably confident to see Bozak get a breakaway just because he seems to have the moves to score?
Yeah, he doesn't miss too many, and, you know, he's a deceptive player. He's a lot of times Bozy's not really that noticeable, but at the end of the night, you notice he's got points and he's made a contribution. And you notice tonight he used him in the defensive zone as far as starting the penalty killing because of his face-off prowess. He was really the only guy that was dominant in a face-off circle over two periods, so it made it pretty easy to use him in the third.
Is there any update on Polak?
Polak will have an MRI tomorrow on a lower body injury, and we'll have an update for you on Monday.
Appointed to serious?
Serious enough that he'll be out for a while.
Randy, was this a good effort to kind of turn the page on what's been, I guess, an interesting week, to say the least?
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the next one. What's coming next? You really did that. That's the way I look at it. You just move on, and, you know, we've got a job to do, and we've got to prepare our hockey club to play the Pittsburgh Penguins, who, you know, who are up-tempo, fast-skating, maybe have the best player in the world right now, specifically in Sidney Crosby. He's in high gear.
And you're quarter of the way through the season now. What does this team have to do to be more consistent in the next quarter?
I think, again, play the right way is the term we're trying to use. And if we can play the right way, we can give ourselves and be competitive in a lot of hockey games. And the one thing that determines usually your success for long term is if you can win on the road. You know, we've got to establish a strong road record, and I think we've done that so far, but we're going to play more road games, obviously. And we'd like to make sure that this building is as tough a building to come in and get points as there is in the league. But we hadn't had a very good start to that, but hopefully these last two games against two pretty good teams will give us some confidence to do that.
Interesting comment, Gord, by Randy Carlisle to say, learn to play the right way. And, you know, if there's any indication of the last couple of games, and we've seen it in glimpses this season when the Leafs have had solid efforts against Colorado, the 2-1 win, against the Boston Bruins, now against Tampa Bay, now against Detroit. I think it's the compete factor. It's really putting your head down and making a commitment with back pressure. It's winning one-on-one battles. And I thought the Leafs, for the most part of this game, there were glimpses 5-on-5 where they felt behind a little bit and Detroit started to push the pace. But yet when that third period started, that was a big goal shorthanded-wise. But after that, they only gave up 5 shots in that third period. So that's a real positive sign that I think they've at least understood these last couple of games what it takes to play smart, solid hockey. And, of course, you rely on your goaltender. But, again, this was a solid team effort. That's something that you can tip your hat to.
Certainly 2 games in a row. I know before the Thursday game, before everything happened, the nonsense after the game, Randy had said about playing his kind of system. He'd had a practice where he'd spray painted a couple of X's on the ice to get the guys to understand some simple fundamentals, which they seem to have done in the last 2 games. A 4-1 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Detroit Red Wings tonight. When we come back, we'll hear from Leaf captain Dion Phaneuf. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand.
Side.
Draw won by Bozak again. Slashed around on the wall. Komarov got a piece of it, and now it's played off the boards to center. Bozak racing with an empty net. It's done!
That's it. Empty net goal by Tyler Bozak. Second of the game, 8th of the season for the Toronto Maple Leafs in their 4-1 win over the Detroit Red Wings. So welcome you back to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We'll up to date you on a very active out-of-town scoreboard that's going on and very unfortunate in Edmonton and ugly in Edmonton. What is it now, Ozzie? 6-0 last?
It is 6-0. Oof. Gord, you can read your monitor quite well.
Yeah, I know. I'm not reading the monitor. That's why I deferred to you, Oz, because I'm reading other things like, you know, personal emails I'm sending back and forth and other things that I
that's
do
what
when,
I thought.
You're, when you're talking. Also, we are going to hear from Leaf captain Dion Phaneuf. Megan Robinson mentioned about he was very different Dion Phaneuf after tonight's game. Obviously, a lot of the pressure and of the events of the last 2 days off him. But without further ado, we've got to go over Mark Osborne's keys to the game because you did complain we never got them in.
Yeah, you often forget them. So
we did not bring them up the last couple of games. And last game, we were talking about Snubgate. We had so much going on.
The Snubgate. Yeah, anyways, here were the 3 keys if you did not get a chance to remember them, Gord, prior to the game tonight. But I talked about winning the power game, and I was really curious as to what Randy would do with the Bozak line. Would he go up against the Nyquist, Zetterberg, and Franzen line like he did against the Stamkos line? Well, it was a little bit of a shared effort. He sometimes played Peter Holland, and if you notice, Holland with Winnick and David Clarkson, I thought they did a real good job. In particular, Clarkson would get into the grill in the kitchen of Johan Franzen, and he scored 2 goals last time here in the building. About a month ago, and it was very, very positive for the Maple Leafs. The times that Bozak played against that line was very, very good. Bozak gets a empty net goal and a shorthanded goal against that top line, and of course Peter Holland did the same thing, so they won the power game tonight. That combined line for the Red Wings was -9.
Wow.
Point number 2, the power play, 1-for-16 the last 4 games. The Red Wings are number 2 in the National Hockey League shorthanded. I felt that that would be a key, and yet the Leafs never generated much on the power play. It did not end up being a factor in the hockey game. So,
well, special teams. Let's call Bozak's shorthand goal. Let's give you a half mark for that.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. Thank you, Gordon.
No problem, student.
And then,
no problem, grasshopper.
And then number 3, I felt with as good as a team as Detroit is, certainly through the neutral zone, no turnovers at the far blue. I think the Leafs did a pretty good job at that, although the Red Wings took over the game 5-on-5. But the third period was really good indicator for the Leafs. Held the Red Wings to only 5 shots, outscored them 3-1. So I think 2 out of 3 is not bad.
And I was saying earlier when we chatted with Chris Johnson that Thursday, again, not taking anything away from the Leaf win, but Tampa wasn't really the best of Tampa. I thought tonight maybe it wasn't the best of Detroit, but it was pretty good. They were full mark, and you had to battle. I mean, the D especially had to be up for their game in battling those Red Wing forwards.
Well, you know what, and usually what is important against the Red Wings, and I thought that it would probably be a low-scoring type of game because, yes, Datsyuk's out of the lineup. Red Wings play such a good structured game. They haven't given up a lot of goals. We had Kenny Holland on in the pregame show, and one of the things that he's agreed that the Red Wings have done well this year is kill penalties and defend. So with that kind of a game frame or the way that they approach the game, you'd figure it probably would be a tight game. And yet I thought the Leafs did a real good job as the game went on. And this is the kind of game that I think Randy is continuing trying to implement and just basically teach his team. This is how we got to play. I mean, it might not be pretty. We may not have a 10-game point streak continued on, Cody Franson, but it doesn't matter. It's all about the team winning, and the Leafs have done a real good job the last couple of games.
And one surprising stat, just looking at it, that at the end of the game, the Red Wings won the faceoffs by a 57 to 43% margin. Earlier in the game, they were killing them, particularly in the offensive zone, so that's something the Maple Leafs closed the gap by the end as far as that faceoff disparity.
Yeah, you know, and in particular, it was Tyler Bozak, who, once again, is the most prolific Maple Leaf in that category. Tyler was 13-8. The Maple Leafs were 30 and 39, so they were only 43%. So as you said, the other night against Tampa Bay, they were excellent. They were like 70%, which was unheard of. That was probably their best in many, many years. It's all about puck possession, but the Red Wings did have the puck, and yet the Leaf defenders, with Polak out of the lineup due to injury halfway through the game, I think really galvanized them as a unit and played well as a group. A
couple of really solid efforts by Maple Leaf captain Dion Phaneuf, to say the least, the last couple of games. I thought in what wasn't a solid effort Tuesday, he and Stefan Robidoux were solid in meeting the media after that Nashville debacle. And then Thursday, when they talked to the media, nobody was aware quite yet of the ramifications of Snubgate. So yesterday was full on. And tonight, a little bit different climate. Let's hear the Maple Leaf captain chatting after hopefully looking ahead to more wins and putting more off-ice events behind them.
Jan, this is a team that's given you guys trouble in the past. What was the key to getting the better of them tonight?
I thought that was a very good hockey game. Some really big individual efforts by, obviously, Bozy there. That's a huge goal for our hockey team. It was... both teams played very hard. I thought that the momentum in the second period kind of shifted their way, but we did a really good job of sticking with it and turning the tide of momentum in the game. And that's really where it started, was that goal. And we kept coming instead of sitting back. And then Holly's goal, that's great skill. And he's played extremely well for our team.
Leo's goal and the way it was scored first of the game and gets you guys going, that really had to be a momentum builder as well.
Yeah, Leo does a lot of things away from the puck, plays extremely hard night in and night out, and he's a huge part of our team also. And to see him get rewarded by getting the puck to the net and making a really good play, that got us going. It got our It got us going as a team. We wanted to start well, and he did a good job of getting us started. So all around, I thought our whole team played extremely well, did a lot of very good things, stuck to the system that we wanted to play. We talked about a few games ago is getting back to playing how we have to play, and we did that tonight, and it showed in the result.
Beyond the couple mistakes that your guys did turn into goals in the third, what did you like about maybe the process of how the team played in that period?
I thought that it's a tie game. And against a team that we knew that we had to get the point because we owed them, if you want to use that as a saying, they were really big points. We're chasing them. And to stay composed and to stay the course of our system and to stay disciplined to the way that we want to play, we did a lot of real good things, and we have to build on it because we talk about building blocks and building consistency, and tonight was a step in the right direction again.
Was some of the off-ice stuff this week a distraction you maybe had to kind of hurdle over?
I thought we did a very good job of focusing on the process and preparation. That was a big thing for us, was that right from this morning, we wanted to focus on a really big game for our team. We don't play for a few games. There are points that were really big in the standings, and for us to come out, it started in the morning. We had an optional skate. Guys were prepared. Guys were focused. And I feel that you saw that tonight. So we've got to build on it. It feels good to get our game back to where we wanted it, because a couple games ago we weren't anywhere near where we want it to be, and we feel good about our game and we've got to build on it.
With the kind of hybrid salute at the end, are you closing the chapter on that? Maybe happy not to get any more salute questions for a long time?
Yeah, we talked about that was something that we talked about in our room, and we did not want to disrespect our fans at all. And we know how much support that we have, and that's our new thing now. We wanted to change it up, and that's what we're doing now. So I thought our building was very energetic tonight, right from the start. There was lots of energy in the building. It's an original six matchup on a Saturday night. You could feel it. Our fans were there right to the end, and we wanted to show our appreciation for them.
Have the forwards done a better job the past couple games helping you guys out in the back end?
Yeah, no question that for our team and the way that we want to play aggressive all over the ice, but that doesn't mean just going forward. That means coming back. And for us as defensemen, it makes our job easier when we have back pressure. And our forwards have done a very good job of pushing the puck and pushing it to the outside, where it makes our job easier to stand up, because that's a big part of our system. We want to stand up in the neutral zone, make teams dump the puck, because when you give teams clean entries in the league, they're very skilled guys. It's a very good league, and the less time that you can give teams and less clean entries, I think you're a better team for it. So our forwards deserve a lot of credit for the back pressure that they've been showing, and we have to build on it.
Dion, you acknowledge that they maybe had some of the edge in the second period. When you get out of a period like that and it's 1-1, is it a chance to kind of reset maybe and refocus?
Yeah, for us, they did take the momentum did shift, for sure. They kept coming, and they obviously tie the game up. But we did a really good job of staying with our game. Going in the locker room, we were confident with how we were playing. We would have liked a few more shots. I feel that that's where really the momentum shifted. They were directing pucks to the net, and we were. When that happens, you kind of get running around a bit, and it kind of wears on your team, because you're spending more time in your zone than the other zone. So I thought that we regrouped very well, and it's a big period. That third period was really big for our team, and we've got to build on it.
When you got hit from behind, were you rattled, or were you shaken up? Like, were you just pissed, or were you hurt?
No, I wasn't. I was a little bit sore. I guess that's the word, but I haven't seen it. I think that Franzen's a guy who's been around a long time. He doesn't have a dirty reputation.
A little woozy when you were skating away.
I wasn't woozy. I was more a little stiff, to be completely honest with you. It was more my lower back. The boards don't move very good, and I went into them pretty hard.
Tough to see Roman go down like that. He's been a significant part of the team so far this season.
Yeah, that was a big loss for us, and we hope that he's okay and not out a suspended or an extended period of time. He's been a really big piece to our back end and to our whole team. You look at the minutes that he plays hard minutes. He's a very good shot blocker and a big man that plays physical, so he wears other teams down. So that's a big loss for our team. But I thought when we went down to five, guys really stepped up. I thought every guy on the back end, when you go to five D-men, it puts a strain on your guys on the back end. And I thought that all the guys really stepped up. Jake, Morgan, they played some real big minutes, some tough minutes, and they did a very good job of it.
Well, Gorda, I don't know about you, but my reaction to hearing Dion Phaneuf, it sounds like he's more engaged. It sounds, for me, less robotic. I think his leadership has been questioned this last week, and it sounds, at least for me, watching and observing him these last two wins, he seems like he's competing more. And I don't know who's talked to him. I don't know if just a combination of things that finally maybe some of what's gone on has actually hit a nerve. And it's good to see. This is not robotic, what I just heard out of him these last number of minutes. It's animated that he's been that I can remember in a long time. And that's a positive for me.
Yeah, I look at... In some ways, I compare Dion as a captain to Rick Vive as a captain. I know Rick wasn't a captain at the end of it, but I meant a young guy that was relatively new to Toronto and had success, and got the captaincy rather quick. I mean, a lot of people debated whether he should have the captaincy, just like they debated whether the captaincy should have been thrust on Dion so soon after coming from Calgary. But they both really want to do the right things. Whether you think they're good leaders or not, they both wear the C, or in Rick's case, wore the C with a lot of pride and really want to do what a captain's supposed to do. And I think Tuesday night, Dion did that, and he and Robitaille facing the media after the Nashville game. And I believe that after that tough night, then Thursday, I think he regrets that he got talked into doing a wrong thing. Like, I think he believes in doing the right thing.
Yep.
And I think he looks at himself, and he's the guy that had to do damage control yesterday with the lame reason that the Leafs came up with after the fact, as far as I'm concerned. And then tonight, the right thing was done once again. They save a little face because they've changed their routine after a win, and then they did salute the fans. And the big key is the word win. And when you win, it starts making all ills go away. And I sense him coming out tonight, like you say, less robotic, a little more engaging. Mm-hmm. I mean, yesterday he had a reporter go right at him. I mean, it almost got into fisticuffs with somebody else from the Leaf organization, not a player, because it was pretty in your face and a lot of vitriol. And I think he handled that well. He was the bigger guy in that. And I get a sense he looks back and he says, okay, that's been a lesson for me over the last 4 days.
You know what? And this could actually be a blessing in disguise, something that appears to have galvanized this group. And we come away with this with two real good efforts. Dion the other night against Tampa Bay, playing with a bit of edge in his game. And I think every player that has and shows and displays that passion and the grit and the determination that I think is really required, you know, not only to wear the C for this team, but actually to not go down with the ship when you're not putting forth an effort, which we've seen the team, a lack of effort too many times this season. This is nice to see the last couple of games.
Absolutely. I mentioned the 4-1 in for the Leafs over Detroit. Only got about 3 minutes or so. So just want to whip through the out-of-town scores. I'll start with the ugly one. How about that? 6-0. Boy, in Edmonton, 6-0 for the Chicago Blackhawks after two periods of play. It is ugly. Jonathan Toews with his 8th. Marcus Kruger with his 3rd. Brent Seabrook with his 6th. Christopher Stieg with his 6th. Marian Hossa with his 3rd. Duncan Keith with his 5th.
In Calgary, after two periods, New Jersey leads 3-1. Henrique with his 8th. Camilleri with his 8th. Henrique had his 6th. Camilleri his 8th. Curtis Glencross has replied for Calgary with his 3rd.
San Jose, a lot of people wondering about those San Jose Sharks, too. What is going on there? Losing 2-1 right now to Arizona in the second period. Antoine Vermette and David Schlemko. And Vermette is 5th. Schlemko was 1st for Arizona. Tommy Wingles his 6th for San Jose. 2-1, Arizona, middle of the second.
And a final in Ottawa. The Blues defeat the Sens 3-2 for the Blues. Lapierre gets his 1st. Tarasenko with his 12th. Alexander Steen with his 4th was the winner in the 3rd for Ottawa. Zibanejad with his 3rd, and Erik Karlsson gets his 5th.
Montreal 2-0 shutout over the Boston Bruins. Markov is 2nd, Plekanec is 8th. Carey Price, that's his first ever shutout in over 40 regular season games against the Boston Bruins. He does have 4 playoff shutouts when they count more against the Bruins.
In Tampa Bay, the Lightning defeat the Wild 2-1 for Minnesota. Zach Parise with his 7th. For Tampa, Stamkos gets his 14th, and Killorn with his 6th, the game winner in the second period.
Boy, the New York Islanders are for real. This is a 4-1 win for them over the Pittsburgh Penguins on home ice tonight. The Penguins' only goal, if Jenny Malkin is 8th of the year, that opened the scoring, and for 38 minutes, that was all the scoring. Then Matt Martin scored a 2nd late in the second period. 3 third period goals. Anders Lee is 3rd. Brock Nelson is 10th, and John Tavares is 8th. It's a 4-1 win for the New York Islanders over Pittsburgh.
Not sure to make what to make of the Philadelphia Flyers yet. They win tonight 4-2 against Columbus. For Philadelphia, Braden Schenn with his 7th. Streit gets his 4th. Wayne Simmonds gets his 8th. And Braden Coburn, his 1st of the season for Columbus. Boone Jenner with his 1st, and Matt Calvert gets his 2nd.
I don't know if they're putting away the Connor McDavid shirts in Buffalo yet or not, but the Buffalo Sabres in Washington tonight, a 2-1 win. For the Sabres, Matt Molson is 3rd, and Torrey Mitchell is 3rd. The only Washington goal, Matt Niskanen is 1st, so another win for the Buffalo Sabres.
In Nashville, the Preds had a 2-0 lead heading into the third period. Colin Wilson with his 3rd, Matt Cullen gets his 3rd, and then 2 goals in the last minute of play for Florida ties it. Grimaldi with his 1st, Bukestad is 7th, and then it was Philip Forsberg with the shootout winner for the Preds. They win 3-2.
Los Angeles, Dallas. Geez, Dallas hung on for the 5-4 win. They get a 4-0 lead over the Kings and then kind of hang on for dear life to win 5-4. J. Jamie Benn scores twice. He gets his 7th and 8th. John Klingberg got his 2nd. Tyler Seguin is 15th. Jason Demers is 1st for Dallas. L.A. Kings, Tanner Pearson is 9th. Justin Williams got his 3rd and 4th. And Mike Richards scored his 3rd. Again, 5-4 Dallas.
Carolina jumps out to a 3-1 lead in Colorado in the first period. John Michael Lyles with his 1st. Nate Gerby his 2nd. And Andre Nestrosil with his 1st. And then for Colorado, Zach Redmond made it 3-1 for Carolina after one period of play, and then three straight goals by the Avs. Eric Johnson, his 4th, and then 2 and a 3rd. Jerome McGinley gets his 3rd, Zach Redmond his 3rd, and the Avs win.
I like the drama there. We timed it perfectly, all the action going on today. We'll be back at it Wednesday. It's been quite an active last week for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They take on the Pittsburgh Penguins, so Ozzie and I will be back. A 4-1 win tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Detroit Red Wings. And don't forget a Raptor win as well over the Cleveland Cavaliers. A great night for sports in Toronto. You've been listening to Leafs Nation Postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne with you on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.